This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
This is Aygin Iscario, and welcome back to another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So, since we're in the first few weeks of 2023, when everyone's still writing 2022 on their papers and realizing that it's a new year, I want to talk about new beginnings. To start us off, do you have any New Year's resolutions, both personally and professionally?
I do. Yeah, I have one of each, actually. I've learned over the years to not make too many. So my personal resolution is there's a particular kind of exercise class I really like to go to called Bar. And my resolution was to go to 4 classes every week.
Oh,
and
wow.
That requires, in order to make that work, I have to go to some 6 a.m. classes. And I am a morning person, but I would much rather wake up in the morning and sit on my couch and drink coffee than wake up and, you know, leave. So,
right.
So far, so good, although we are only in week 2 of January. Doing a good job so far. And then my professional goal has been to try to write for at least 30 minutes every day. And that one I've not entirely done every single day, but I've certainly been a lot better than I was last year. So I'm gonna count it as a win.
That sounds amazing. So time for a hot take. Second part of the question. Do you think it's even productive to set resolutions as opposed to just maintaining an upward trajectory in whatever area of life we choose to improve?
I don't know that I see those two things as totally different. I think that, I'm sure this is different for different people, but for me, there's a lot of different things that I would like to do better in my life. And it's impossible to do better at everything all the time. So for me, it helps me to say, okay, of all the things that I think I could improve on, what are the things I'm going to like foreground? Like, what am I going to prioritize?
Right.
So for me, that has always been really helpful. And I mentioned before, like, I have learned not to make too many resolutions, right? Because, you know, it's really just a goal, right? Or an intention, I think, is, you know, I have an intention of like really prioritizing exercise, or I have an intention of prioritizing writing, because otherwise I could really spend my entire day in meetings and responding to email, which is neither of those things bring me joy. For me, I think that setting those kinds of resolutions is a way to kind of think about a constant sort of upward trajectory. But I think people can set resolutions that are actually like make them feel badly about themselves. And so I think that would be the kind of thing that I try to stay away from anyway.
Right. I love the use of the word intention as opposed to just goals, because I feel like goal implies that you have to hit something, whereas intention just means that you have the motivation to go for something, but it doesn't put as much pressure on you to like meet a standard or something. It's just self-improvement.
Yeah.
So I want to move on to our second semester of our freshman year. So we now have a semester under our belt of college. And I know for some people like myself, we made a lot of questionable choices, among other right ones, our first semester. So I just want to get your take on debugging our routines from last semester so that hopefully this semester we'll have better habits, better practices.
Yeah, well, hold on one sec. Sorry, Jim. Okay. Debugging your routines. I love the way that you put that because, you know, it's sort of, I mean, in computer science, debugging is what you do, right? You keep tweaking until like you get the thing to work. And the fact that you have to tweak it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you, right? It's just a central part of the practice. So I love thinking about that for routines. I think different people make different wonderful choices and different terrible choices, right? And so, you know, I think in the first semester, we often get people at two different extremes. So one extreme is that people actually were so anxious about doing well in school and feeling tense and anxious about school that they mostly just focused on classes. And they maybe didn't do as much to connect with other people or join student orgs or really make as many friends as they would have liked. And then there's also the opposite extreme, right? That you're here and there's so much to do and there's such amazing people here and they're with you all the time, right? Like, it's really actually hard to be by yourself as a first year student. And so the opposite thing also happens, that sometimes people are so engaged in those activities and so excited by the people they meet that they're maybe not spending as much time on their studies as they should. And both of those are pretty normal, right? It's actually, I would say, in my experience, it continues to be hard to strike a balance between my work obligations, as an adult, the older you get, the more terrible things you have to do, like figure out why the dishwasher is broken or whatever, you know, like, so those like necessary responsibilities that are not fun, but also not work. If you have children, that brings in new like opportunities and responsibilities. And then like, did you want to do anything just for yourself? You know, so for me, like that balance has always been hard. And I do try to look back, you know, when you're in the midst of a stressful time, it can be hard to notice what's working or not working. So the breaks are a really nice time to think about, how did that semester go? And like, you know, what did I do that seemed to really work? And what are some things that I need to do differently? But I think taking the time to reflect on that is important. And so, you know, if you came home after the semester and you crashed for 3 days and didn't talk to anyone because you were sleeping, like, that's not normal, right? So like, that's a sign that you were fatigued, and like fatigued in a way that was like too much fatigue, right? And so absolutely. I think, you know, just thinking about how you felt, especially when you had a chance to breathe, and like, how can you not feel that way at the end of the next semester? Yeah. That's really how, that's really how I try to think about it.
That's very helpful. Thank you. So last question, let's talk about the most riveting topic, the weather. so far our weather in January has been colder than past few months. And we recently saw a little bit of snow, so I had to whip out my gloves and my scarf just to deal with it. But for those of us who are used to warmer weather, how can we stay productive and deal with our mental and physical health despite the freezing temperatures that sometimes make us feel lazy or just want to stay in bed all day?
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I have to tell you, I'm from Michigan originally. Oh, and so okay. I've always thought of Tennessee winter as being pretty mild and short. But I agree. I mean, today is disgusting. And I don't, like you, well, I didn't have gloves because yesterday was actually 60. And so, you know, that's to me, what's really hard about Tennessee winter is that it really fluctuates and it makes it hard to exactly know what to predict. But so a couple of things. My kids go to a school that is mostly outside. And their motto is, there is no bad weather. There's just bad clothing. Mm. And it's actually, you know, been an interesting perspective to take, like, you know, really, there's some, you know, maybe you don't have great rain gear, for example. So if it's raining, then maybe that's a day you don't go outside, but you probably do have like plenty of shirts and sweaters, right? Or, you know, so one thing to think about is, if you want to go outside, you mostly can. It's very rare that you can't go outside because of the weather. So one question is like, if you want to go outside, like just do it. Right? Just dress up and do it. But the other thing is to think about like what is bringing you joy. I think that sometimes resting in your room all day actually does bring you joy, right? For everyone. Sometimes you just need to do that. But I think it's the rare person who can do that for multiple days and not start to feel a little down at least, you know? Mm. And so in those moments, even if the weather is terrible, think about like, how do I just get out of this room? It's not a big rec center that we have in the Commons, but it is one that's not very far, right? And so, or for me, if I'm trying to convince myself to get exercise and I'm feeling kind of lazy, it helps if I'm walking to something that I like. And so right. There's a coffee shop on 16th. It's not even a 10-minute walk from the Commons. It's called The Well. And they make really good chais. Like, I think, I really like their chais. And so, more than one time I've been like, I'm just going to walk to the well and do a little work there. And, you know, like there, it's not cheap to get a chai latte there. I feel like it's like $5, which seems crazy to me, but so I don't do it every day, but you know, like that's kind of a motivator for me to get out. And then also, even if I go by myself, like now I'm surrounded by people anyway. Right. So it kind of feels social. So I do think if that's something that, you know, is something you know, you tend to do, like you can get sort of locked into your room, like make it a priority to say, I can't do this for more than one day, and find something that motivates you to get out.
For sure. I think that was a low-key petition to add the well to the card. But I digress. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Dean Grisalfi. And a big thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Aygin Iscario. Till next time.
What's up, Commodores? I'm Linda Hsu, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I bring you all up to speed with the on-campus happenings. First up, Project SAFE is hosting an online educational program stocking on college campuses today from 12:30 to 1:15 on Zoom. Project SAFE staff will discuss ways to discover signs of stalking and how to enhance personal safety. Register for the Zoom session using the link found on AnchorLink. Next, Vandy Writes is hosting a writer's social on Thursday, January 26th from 7:30 to 8:30 at Commons 320. Everyone is welcome to join, and they will be playing book-based games and serving cold brew coffee. On Friday, January 27th from 4 to 6, join VUSM Wellness at the Surratt Art Studio for their Build a Bowl event. Come relax and decompress and learn to work with clay by hand. There will also be opportunities to paint a bowl or small figurine. There are limited supplies, so RSVP as soon as possible, and the instructor would greatly appreciate if attendees wore masks during the session. And finally, the Vanderbilt Center for Languages is hosting a Paint by Numbers and Chill event on Monday, January 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. in Furman Hall. Come enjoy snacks and speak your language while completing your picture. Space is limited, so it's first come, first serve. And that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. Be sure to check the Anchor link for more information on dates and events. Thank you all so much for listening. Now on to the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Aygin Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt, and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Rachel Johnson, a first-year student from Smyrna, Tennessee, majoring in biochemistry. She also lives in Sutherland House. Rachel, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, did I say Smyrna right? Smyrna.
Yes, it's Smyrna.
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 Gotcha. I said Smyrna wrong the first time.
Yes, you did.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's dive into your background first. So where are you from? And just a fun little question, like what's one treasured memory you have from your time living there?
Well, I moved like to three places during my life. So I'm originally born in Nassau, Bahamas. So I'm basically from the Caribbean, and then I moved here when I was 4 years old to Nashville, Tennessee, and I moved here for 11 years, and then I moved to Smyrna, Tennessee, which is 40 minutes from here, and I lived there for 4 years, which is where I currently reside right now. But I feel like my most treasured memory from basically the Bahamas is where I remember my grandma teaching me how to swim. And I was on the beach, and, you know, I was a little kid back then, but that's, like, the only memory I remember, just having fun with my grandma at the beach.
That's so sweet. Do you miss the Bahamas? When was the last time you went back?
Yes, I miss it a lot. A lot of my family is there on all of the islands. I haven't been back in 15 years, so technically the last time I was there was when I was 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, so very interesting background coming into Vanderbilt. I bet it was you already lived in Tennessee, so I guess it wasn't that big of a transition. But I think, yeah, I just want to ask, how has your time here been so far?
On like the academic side, it's been very hard, like challenging, like biochem. I say all the time, like biochemistry is the hardest degree here. You know, besides something like engineering or biology as well. But I feel like I found like a really good community of friends like you to help me through my time here. But I've had a lot of good experiences and I've had a lot of bad experiences, but I feel like they both balance out. I feel like I don't regret like coming here.
That's fair. That's really good to hear. And obviously, you know, with all these new changes in our lives, it's good to have some things that are constant, like keeps us grounded as a foundation. And I know you said you were religious. So can you talk about like being Christian on campus and what has been the community like for you?
Right. So I am a Christian, and I feel like I've been getting, like, I became a Christian maybe at 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that helped me a lot of times through high school and middle school, especially when my, like, my birth mother died from breast cancer when I was 11. So I feel like that really kept me constant and consistent. And I feel like on campus, coming on campus, like, I'm a part of ENC, which is Every Nation Campus. We are affiliated with Bethel World Outreach Church. And I feel like coming here and being a part of the community, like, has been so amazing. Like, I love the Christian community so much there. It's so welcoming, and it's so great to be with people of God serving. And we just do a lot of different fun events as a community. And I feel like, I just feel like they're my family, ultimately.
Do y'all, like, do service every Sunday, or?
We do. We have service every Sundays. And then on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8:30, we have encounter nights, where it's where we worship God, and you get a space to, you know, worship God as a Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, you can come and just be with people who will accept you.
Oh, that sounds very nice. Well, that's obviously, like, a big part of your identity, but, like, are there any other cultural orgs on campus, maybe your pre-professional societies that you're a part of, that, like, has helped you kind of figure out what direction you want to go into, or just, like, provide support for you or resources here at Vanderbilt?
I will say I am a part of BSA and CSA, which is, if anyone doesn't know, Black Student Association and Caribbean Student Association. I just love being part of, like, the cultural communities, because you get more of a sense of belonging and they understand more of your situation here. And I'm also a part of my Questbridge Scholars community. Mm-hmm. And because I am a Questbridge Scholar. So that has been very helpful in getting opportunities for first gen students. And it was just a really good place for all of us to hang out and come as a community of scholars.
Yeah. I think you mentioned the Caribbean Student Association, and you did mention that you moved to the States when you were 4. So I can imagine, like, as someone who moved here when I was young, not as young as you, but, like, even then I was still, like, feeling a disconnect between me and my culture. So can you talk about the experience of being around other people from your same culture and, like, reigniting your knowledge or your love for that country?
Right. So I remember being little, and my dad he mentioned where I was from, where I was born at, but he didn't really go into great depth and detail. So for a long time, I only knew, yes, I was from the Bahamas, but I didn't know what that really meant. Mm-hmm. And then when my stepmom came into the picture, she really introduced me to more of my cultural background as a high schooler and coming into college, I just wanted to find out more of what it means to be part of the Bahamas, to be part of this well-structured Caribbean nation that not a lot of people know about but do. And I just feel like being a part of that is to know more about your culture, know more about, like, the dialect that people use, because it's very different from being here in America. Mm. The Caribbean dialect in our culture is just so amazing, and it's so beautiful. And back where I'm from, we have, like, this carnival called Junkanoo, where we dress up in, like, these feathered costumes, and we play Caribbean / Bahamian music, and it's a really good time. And I just love coming here, especially I hope to be involved in the carnival this year that the CSA is hosting. So
when
I can.
Are they hosting it?
I think it's in April.
Okay.
So.
Pull up.
Right. Come on now. But I'm just so ready to be a part of that and to just share my culture with everyone here.
For sure. And I feel like I relate to that as someone from, like, a different culture and grew up in another country partly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once you move away and become immersed in another culture, like the American one,
right,
you tend to forget about, like, where you came from and, like,
right,
what you used to do. and all the traditions that like come with your identity group. So it's always interesting when you go back when you're older and you're like, I don't really know much about the culture or know or remember much, but like it feels like an outsider trying to learn relearn everything, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And so like, how do you feel? Because you mentioned that you started only learning more in depth about it in high school. And I feel like if you didn't grow up in a culture, it could kind of feel like you're an outsider if you're already like if you were so used to being in America and like not really being in touch with that side of yourself and then like rekindling that passion later on.
Right.
Does it ever feel like, I don't know, can you talk about the fact that you didn't grow up there but still like identify with the culture?
Right. Well, I feel like that's one thing that's kept me in touch with my culture is my big Caribbean family. Mm. We have this Caribbean group chat that my family has, and that helps me stay in touch with the news and everything that's going on there. And two, just learning about the different foods from my my mom, because she moved here about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But she's been back and forth from the Bahamas to America. So she has helped me stay in touch with my culture. And I think that's very important for me, because when I was in high school, I went to a PWI high school, and it was something uncommon to share where you were from. Like when I say I was from the Bahamas, you know, people would look at me like weirdly, especially in freshman year. Like people did not want to taste my cultural dishes, which I felt offended at.
Go, please. They all go on vacation to the Bahamas. Like we
know. Yes. But I'm like, this is a part of who I am. You just have to accept it. And I just love how learning about it is making me see the beauty of it, and learning about the history and the Independence Day, how we were freed from the British,
yeah,
all those years ago. So it's been really good.
And I think you touched about something growing up black in a predominantly white school, which now you're at in a new context of college. Can you talk about being a black woman in STEM, like that whole experience, what that's been like for you so far on campus?
Right. Well, I did go to a PWI high school, and so I wanted to go to more of a higher institution, and I am the first one in my family to go to an institution like this as well.
It's a big deal.
Yes, it is. It's a huge deal. And so I was either picking between Fisk University or Vanderbilt, but money had its way in, which it usually does, you know. So I'm just thinking I would have had a completely different experience if I went to Fisk University, being surrounded by like black professors and things like that. But I think it's so important for us minorities and black people to be put into these white predominantly spaces to show excellence, achievement, and scholarship.
Absolutely.
As, you know, we embark on our college journey. I think that's so important for me. And so being black here in a highly white-dominated major, and also being a part of, like, the hardest major here, it's been very eye-opening, I would say, and very inspirational about how much I have to advocate for myself as a black woman in STEM, encouraging other black women in STEM. And I think that's so important that we stick together, and also just to fight for our right to be, to show as a pursuit of excellence. I remember my mom always has instilled in me work ethic in me since day one. So that's why I lead by. That's probably what got me into the university, is my work ethic, because I think that's so important for me to show that black women can do anything, and that the boundaries and barriers that are placed against black women and men are not so, and that we can show them that we can push past them.
Absolutely. That's so inspirational. And I love how optimistic you've been throughout this whole conversation. Like, you never took like your culture in a negative light, because you were getting into it too late. You always appreciated it. And now you appreciate being here and being able to have the opportunity to show what you're capable of. And I think that's really admirable.
Right. And I think that's what's needed, especially here, especially lending our voices, because I do want to, yes, I do want to be a general surgeon one day, and primarily to help children in hospitals. Especially every time I walk past St. Jude Hospital, it just strikes a passion in me that I am doing this for children that don't get to have a life like me. So that's why I'm very appreciative of my time being here and how I want to make an impact and help as much as I can in bringing health care to disparate communities, minority communities.
I love that. Thank you so much, Rachel. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Humans of the Commons podcast with My Commons Life. Till next time.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of Student Media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.